Get ready. Join.
You're listening to Neon Jazz with Joe Domino.
From a man that was born with the name George Joyner. That was a man who played double bass, electric bass, and even the tuba. With his duo, he's joined by the legend Al Haig, and that was the song Just Squeeze Me off the LP Expressingly Ellington. And he will be the subject of our 600th episode of Neon Jazz. It's been a long time.
Yes, it has. Where have you been?
My whole life. Where are we on? April 2011, so we're at 8 years right now.
8 years at doing this chicanery on the air.
Eight and running.
Yes, sir.
Running like cheetahs.
And so far, successful.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been wondrous.
Yeah.
Absolutely wondrous.
And we say successful based upon the number of folks, good folks in the jazz community that you've met.
Yeah.
And have gathered around you. I've watched that agog. Of course, most of the people that I'm doing are dead.
So, but you got to meet Marilyn May this winter. That was
that was a wondrous moment. That was the pinnacle of my career.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Yeah. But the beauty of this is that we had a couple sticks back in 2011, and we were just going and going, and now I think we got some marshmallows.
Yeah, I think
people
so too.
Bringing in the chocolate and the graham cracker. We'll make some. So we got some s'mores here for you.
Yeah, we do.
So with that, we're going to delve into the book by Jamil's son, Munir Nasser. He's a musician, historian, and author, and he wrote a book called Upright Bass, The Musical Life and Legacy of Jamil Nasser, and it was published in 2018. That's going to be our topic, and we're going to delve into his life and the roads that he traveled very well. This book looks well into the life of the cats that he played with and got to know well over the years, the likes of Phineas Newborn, Lou Donaldson, Red Garland, Ahmad Jamal, and so many others. And over 50 years in the business, this book chronicles his evolution from a young bassist on Beale Street, the musical epicenter of Memphis, to a top-flight bassist on the New York City jazz scene. Even Miles Davis harbored curiosity about the environment that produced Jamil and three Memphis musicians he actually hired in 1963. So Munir knew he had to get this story penned. And during a recent and very revealing interview with Neon Jazz, he explained just that.
And he always envisioned writing a book. He always would say, I'm gonna put the real story of my life in a book and my interactions and experiences on the New York jazz scene. But he never got a chance because Alzheimer's started creeping up on him.
So Munir was put on the jazz radar very early on in his life, and we talked about that and how the music got into his blood. Have a listen.
Started out music real early because my father always took us to the concerts. Some of the earliest memories is him playing with Ahmad Jamal in mid-70s, 74, 75. He left the group in 76. And so that created an interest in learning how to play music. Especially when he took me to see Dizzy Gillespie at the Village Gate. And so we're around the music, hearing it live, talking to the musicians, you know, going to the rehearsals.
Welcome to Neon Jazz. This is your jazz radio host, Joe Domino, coming to you from a town that loves jazz, always has, and always will, right here in Kansas City, Missouri, giving you our 600th full hour of jazz.
Yeah, baby.
So as we get into the cut Caravan off Munir's 2019 CD, A Soldier's Story, let's have a listen to what his aim as a musician is.
And one of the things I wanted to do, it seems like the music is getting away from pulse and swinging. That's one of the things that attracted me to jazz, was the feeling. You could pat your foot, you could dance, you know. And so I felt the music kind of straying from that, getting a little bit more loose metered and cerebral. So I just kind of wanted to bring it back to the jazz I grew up with. Hello, jazz fans. My name is Munir Nasser. I'm a trumpeter and author of Upright Bass, The Musical Life and Legacy of Jamil Nasser. And you're listening to Joe Dimino on Neon Jazz. Support this great international art form.
Was jazz pianist Phineas Newborn Jr. with his trio with the tune Blues Theme for the Left Hand Only off the 2011 CD Piano Portraits. So Phineas was born in Whiteville, Tennessee, and came from a musical family. His father, Phineas Newborn Sr., was a drummer in blues bands, and his younger brother, Calvin, was a jazz guitarist. And it's proven that he's one of the most underscored and undersung jazz cats in the history of jazz. That's a fact. And that story was actually brought up in the book. It shed some light on his life and his untimely death. Have a listen to Munir talk about it.
Number two, you learn this true story of Phineas Newborn. Most of the accounts you read, online or offline, he was a pianist that just went crazy and fell off the scene. The nervous breakdown was precipitated by a beef he had with the industry. He wanted to own himself, and they wanted to own him. And so he thought he could change his record company, booking agent, manager, but they went sun down and shut him out of the industry. Period.
So this next gifted pianist with octopus hands and superb time, that's what they dubbed him, Oscar Dinard. And this is another guy that was an unsung hero of the jazz world. So as we get into the tune Pinky from the 2012 CD Milestones, let's again have a listen to Munir explain the allure of Oscar.
I mean, I'm happy about to reveal the Phineas Newborn story, but Oscar Dinard is one of the most obscure musicians in jazz history. And so we started documenting, you know, his experiences with Oscar Dinard first. That's where we started. And then we fanned out from there, backwards and forwards. But it's something that he wanted to do on his own, but he realized that, you know, his capacity was diminishing. He could feel that. So he passed the baton to me.
Aaron Deal, and you're listening to Neon Jazz with Joe DeLino.
That was another classic jazz piano cat, Art Tatum, with the song Come Rain or Come Shine. That's been our mantra around here in Missouri lately.
Yeah, I'm kind of in an Art Tatum appreciation mode right now, having watched Ken Burns' Jazz again.
Oh, wow.
They do a section on Art.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And they really paid good respect. He was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Yeah, and yeah. Just the time that he was in, he was surrounded by so many people that were just as talented. I think he kind of got lost in the shuffle.
Yep.
But he was definitely a card that should have been on the top of the deck. So this is him live in 1951, and this is another cat that was fully in the arc of Jamal's career. Art is easily considered one of the greatest jazz pianists of all time, and his performances were hailed for their technical proficiency and creativity, as John had mentioned, seeing it in the Ken Burns jazz documentary, which you should definitely catch. And now as we get into the legendary Miles Davis with Spring Is Here, live at Carnegie Hall at 62, let's have a listen to Muneer talk about the curiosity that Miles had about his father and the other cats that were coming out of Memphis at that exact same time.
Take, for instance, Miles Davis's curiosity. You know, Miles Davis was not given to compliments, right? He writes a book 2 years before he dies. He doesn't mention the Pittsburgh musicians. He doesn't mention the musicians from South Central. He wondered about the musicians from Memphis because he hired three of them in 1963. Frank Strozier, Hal Mayburn, and George Coleman. He kept George Coleman. So now, how did they develop? Miles wondered about it. He said, I wondered what school they would come out of, you know, down there in Memphis that all of them came up here playing so well.
This is Josh Feldstein, the drummer with the Verve Jazz Ensemble.
And this is Tatum Greenblatt, the trumpet player with the Verve Jazz Ensemble.
And we are listening to Joe Dimino on Neon Jazz, keeping jazz alive on the internet. Go, Joe.
That was jazz, rhythm and blues, soul, rock, and funk trumpeter. He's also a composer, Blue Mitchell, with the tune Ow off the 2005 CD called Stablemates. This was another cat that was firmly in the circle of Jamil, and he was born and raised in Miami, Florida, and he started playing trumpet in high school, and that's how he got the nickname Blue. He only made it to the age of 49, but he made quite a mark on the world of jazz and beyond. And like Blue, Munir explained what Jamil did ultimately for the music.
And my father fought for the music, man. He paid dearly, man. He talked about the racism. He talked about the drugs. He talked about the incompetent critics that ruined careers because they personally didn't like what the people were playing or they were trying to promote somebody else. And he was kind of persona non grata.
Coming your way next here on the 600th episode of Neon Jazz is the great Brooklyn-born baritone sax cat, Cecil Payne, one that Jamil knew very well. This is the tune Saucer Eyes off the 2000 CD, The Brooklyn 4 Plus 1, as we keep on moving on. We'll be right back.
This is Laura Ainsworth, and I think Neon Jazz is out of this world.
I'd work for you, slave for you. I'd be a beggar or a maid for you. If that ain't love, it'll have to do until the real thing comes. Just can't make you understand. I'll always love you, darling, come what may. My heart is yours. What more can I say? I'd lie for you. I'd cry for you. I'd draw the stars down from the sky for you. If that ain't love, it'll to do until the real thing comes along.
That was the great jazz and blues singer Helen Humes with the tune Until the Real Thing Comes Along off the 2013 CD Sings Ballads and Blues. So Helen was a teenage blues singer and a vocalist with Count Basie's band, a saucy R&B diva back in the day before diva was even coined, and a mature interpreter of the classy popular songbook. And Munir had a great story about her from the book. It's gritty, but it's true about what was happening at the time and what his father witnessed.
Helen Humes is another one. She died in Africa. Did you know that? Touring with Louis Armstrong in 1960.
Wow.
So I have to add her, too. These are international martyrs that actually died in another country representing this music. You know, and so I think they should be honored or at least recognized, because that's the ultimate sacrifice.
And here's another story from Munir about how the words and the music played out.
So have you ever been around musicians backstage talking? Man, they're just, a lot of them are just as engaged and off the bandstand as they are on it, you know. And the stories continue backstage. A lot of colorful, you know, profound stories of, you know, dealing with the elder musicians, you know. And like my father talking about Lester Young and certain things he said and passed on and certain predictions he had about the direction of the music. Because they could see stuff. They could see stuff coming, you know, around the corner years before.
So our final grand finale song on the 600th episode of Neon Jazz will come from the great jazz cat. I love this guy, Red Garland, who always made it sound good no matter what he did, with the tune Wonder Why. and you don't really have to with him. This is off the 2013 CD, The Real Jazz Collection, Volume 2. And as we exit this ceremonial episode honoring the great Jameel Nassir, I think his son summed up a lot of what his dad was about and maybe what John and I are about with this show around here. Have a listen.
Today, like these narratives of the junkie jazz musician that didn't take care of his kids, that traveled all over the world, didn't take care of business, his best moments were on the bandstand. After that, run. This man was a father. So that's why sometimes this book wouldn't be as popular as some of the other ones, because it's not about a junkie, alcoholic jazz musician that was irresponsible and exploited. They love those kind of narratives.
And it's with that we thank you for tuning into a show featuring one of America's finest inventions.
Jazz.
And either all or some of the previous 599 episodes. And thanks to my good friend, show engineer, and the magic of the controls, and the best kind of friend I could ever ask for over these last 8 years of my life. The man behind the microphone, behind the curtain, the Neon Beast, Mr. John Christopher.
Likewise. I'm glad you sought me out.
I'm glad we ran into each other.
Yeah, really.
We just, boom.
Couple of cups of coffee, and all of a sudden, hey, you know, you live over where I do.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
We just needed a little caffeine to realize it.
That's right.
So reach out to us. Let us know what's going on. We'd always love to hear from you. NeonJazzKC@gmail.com.
We would dig it the most.
All right. Until next time.
Beat that thing.
Enjoy the jazz, my friends.